We're on the fly at Vintage today. It's Monday. It's a beautiful Monday, a little breezy, which makes it great as the temperature nears 80. And for the last segment today, Ray, you and I have the pleasure of talking to Andrew King, who on EA Radio we have talked to for many, many years, over 20 years now, because he always finds himself playing with very cool airplanes.
Absolutely. And let me just say this about Andrew. If you restore an airplane and it's unusual or different, something that not everybody flies, your go-to guy is Andrew King.
That's right.
This man has flown just about everything. And his background, you know, is out east at...
At the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome. I grew up around the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome. So that's... I was telling somebody the other day about some a lot of the opportunities I've had go directly back to Cole Palin, who was the founder of the old Rhinebeck Aerodrome and gave me my first opportunities to fly airplanes like these.
And you were a teenager then.
My first air show at Rhinebeck, I was 19 years old. Yep. And I was flying a Fokker triplane when I was 20. And I say just too many opportunities to list. And a lot of it since then goes to Cole Palin and some of the other people along the way, Bud Dake and Denny Trone. There's been a number of people that have really helped me along the way.
Yeah. And Andrew won't tell you, but like I said, if it's an unusual airplane, and somebody says, who should fly this for the first time? Andrew King is at the top of the list.
We featured Orion 21 years
yep.
ago.
Yeah, that's right. We were talking about our first interview was 21 years ago. In fact, I was counting up. I flew a new standard in here today, a new 1930 new standard. I believe it's the 17th different type of airplane that I've flown into Oshkosh. So I'm sure there's people with more, but probably not a lot.
Yeah, that's very true. Let's talk about this cool airplane. Because you got thrown into the bailiwick here and you get to represent it, which is awesome because we're talking about a bird, a very special bird. Why is this such a cool, special bird?
Well, it's a 1930 Brunner-Winkel bird built in Brooklyn, New York, August 1930. They were a fairly common airplane back in that period, 1930, 1931. This particular one was bought by Charles Lindbergh to teach his wife Anne to fly. And so it was owned by the Lindberghs. I believe it's the only airplane that was owned by the Lindberghs that's still in private hands. I think all the other ones are in museums.
And this one flies.
It flew all the way from Maryland, from Kentmore, Maryland. I wanted to bring it out a few weeks early, so I left a few weeks ago and brought it out. Had a bit of an adventure coming out here. Had a blown cylinder head in Winchester, Indiana, and was an interesting fix. It happened about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I made it to the county airport at full throttle, about 1,500 RPM, just hanging in the air the last 5 miles. Just barely made it into Winchester, Indiana. I put a post on Instagram. I'm stuck in Winchester. I need a cylinder head for a Kinner K5. And pretty soon I was getting messages from Canada and California, but it turned out there was a guy named Brad Templin, who I think is here at Oshkosh. I'm not sure if he's here right now, but he's coming. And he lived in Dayton, just 50 miles away. He had a cylinder head. He jumped in his Grumman Tiger. He flew it up to me in Winchester. By 8 o'clock that night, the airplane was flying again.
Talk about 1930s AOG.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And interesting enough, that Kenner engine's interesting, but it has that reputation.
Well, it is, and I tell you, when I left Maryland to fly it over here, the first leg I had to go over the Chesapeake Bay, and it was 6 miles, and 6 miles is a long way across the water in a Kenner K5 powered airplane.
While we're on the subject of Kenners and Warners and such, parts are starting to become an issue. Is that right?
Definitely. That particular one, there's we were able to find a cylinder head in a day, but Kenners, Warners, all of those old radial engines are starting to get very hard to find parts for. That's true.
Yeah, and nobody's really actively making those, right? Those parts.
So there's very few people that will rebuild the engines. There's only a couple people in the United States, I think, that will work on a Kenner engine. So that's becoming a problem too. And a lot of the guys are, 70 years old, 80 years old, and a lot of the knowledge is in danger of permanently leaving us. So it's one of the future problems of maintaining an airplane like that.
Well, Andrew, we know that Charles Lindbergh, he bought this airplane for his wife, taught her how to fly.
Right.
What do we know about her flying experiences in this airplane?
Well, it's, I don't know if we want to get into that, but the funny thing, because in the maintenance records, I don't know how enthusiastic Ann was as a pilot. There's a couple of notations in there, replaced left wings and stuff like that. So I don't know, you know, how well it went. But, of course, she accompanied him on a lot of his long-distance survey flights after that in the Lockheed Sirius, around the Pacific Rim and across the Atlantic and so forth.
She had a name, Wife Otto.
right, yeah. But she wrote about learning to fly in the bird in one of her books and talked about trying to learn how to land it and making bumpy landings and stuff with Charles in the front seat. And I actually discovered there's footage online on the Critical Past website just after they bought the airplane of the two of them walking around the airplane, and she gets in the rear cockpit and he gets in the front cockpit, and they prop the airplane and taxi out and take off. So there's actually about a minute and a half of footage of the Lindberghs in that bird on the Critical Past website.
Well, and you can see this airplane. It's in the Rose Memorial Plaza. It's up on the north side, a beautiful blue and light yellow, I guess you would
call it. It's cream. It's a blue and cream. Yeah, it's Diana cream. Not sure what the blue color. I think it's Bahama blue and Diana cream.
And you just got to walk up here and take a look at this airplane. You folks are around the airplane, and if you want to talk about the Lindberghs, you're there.
Oh, yeah. Probably just as interesting is the story of Joe Fischera, who restored the airplane. And maybe we have time to talk about that.
Sure.
Joe bought the airplane in 1947. He knew it was the Lindbergh's airplane at the time, I'm pretty sure. But he just wanted a Kinner bird. It was a good airplane. Before he could fly it, the wind blew it over and smashed it up. So they spent 5 years fixing it, got it flying again, 1952, flew it for 4 months. The engine quit, went in the field, went on its back, smashed it up again. So then he put it in storage. He was in the Air Force. He ended up working as a senior aircraft restoration technician for the Smithsonian, for the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C.
At Silver Hill.
He worked at Silver Hill. Very, very senior restoration specialist for Air and Space Museum. He had it in storage for something like 50 years, and he got to where he was about 80 years old, and he thought, gee, I better start working on this thing, or I'll never see it fly again. And so he started working on it. They finished it in 2012. He was 92 years old. He got one ride in it, and then he died. And so that was, I mean, it's kind of a happy, sad thing. He did get a ride in it. He had lost his medical and wasn't flying at that point. His widow, who's still alive, it still lives in the hangar at her place. Eventually, she sold it to a family friend, and they were looking for somebody to fly it. And fortunately, the person three doors down knew me. He said, call Andrew. And so I got a phone call. Hey, do you want to fly the Lindbergh bird? It was out here. They had flown it out here to try to go to some of the fly-ins, and it was at Poplar Grove, Illinois.
Oh, okay.
And so I flew it back to Maryland in 2015 or 2016. And I've been kind of taking care of it ever since, doing the annual inspections and doing some flying.
You'll know the answer to this, Andrew, because you're Andrew King. How many are flying, actively flying? There's very few.
There's probably, I wouldn't be surprised if there's 10, 11, 12.
Actually birds. Flying, not in museums.
Right, actively, flying, yeah. Right. I can certainly name five or six, I'm sure, and I would bet that there's another four or five or six probably. So I wouldn't be surprised there's 10, 11, 12 Kinner birds. So they're not common, but they're not super rare. And it's a good flying airplane. It's interesting. It has kind of a narrow landing gear, but I've landed it in some pretty good crosswinds, and it handles it pretty well, and the ailerons work pretty well. It's light. It's a very light airplane. I don't think really you want to do aerobatics in it, but well. It's just a pleasant flying airplane. It's really fun, and Mike Pangia, the owner, is here at Oshkosh again somewhere. Not sure where he is right now, but he's here and been very generous with me with the airplane, letting me take people for rides and doing photo shoots with it and stuff. And we did a fantastic photo shoot at Broadhead on the way up here with Connor Madison from EAA, Chris Price flew his Travel Air, and I flew the bird, and Connor shot the photos. And I haven't seen the pictures yet from Connor, but I guarantee they're going to be spectacular.
Because that would have been during what, the Pete and Paul fly-in?
No, it was a couple weeks ago when I was on the way here. Yep. And then I landed it at Pioneer Field. Of course, I got up here, wanted to land at Pioneer Field, and the wind was 90 degrees across Pioneer Field and blowing pretty hard. And I was really concentrating.
Land on the ultralight runway, did you?
No, at Pioneer over at Pioneer. Yeah. So, when it rolled to a stop, I thought, I wish I had a camera on my face because I'm really smiling, because it was a big effort to get it here. It really was a big effort to get it here. And we're really happy to have it here and let people see it and appreciate it.
Real quick, Andrew, you really are a true barnstormer. I know you are. Tell us what you're doing when you're not flying this airplane. You have a
People always ask me, what do you do for a living? And I always hesitate because I'm not really sure how to answer. But I do. I have a 1928 Traveler that I do biplane rides in back in Virginia and various other events. I flew the new Standard in here today that's out on row 62 that belongs to Dewey Davenport. Yes. And we're going to go barnstorm the Jasper County Fair in Indiana later this week, actually. Thursday, we're going down there. So I barnstorming is kind of my favorite thing, actually. Taking people for biplane rides is kind of my favorite thing that I do.
I know you're going to be in Marion, Indiana on September 3rd also with a new
Standard. Yeah, I think they're right. That's on the schedule. Yep. So, I like the barnstorming. I have a shop where I work on airplanes. I'm a little burned out on restoring airplanes and working in the shops. I'm trying to fly more and do more with my airplane. And I do some ferrying trips, ferrying old biplanes, various places. I've got a fleet to pick up in Flay Bob in Los Angeles area and bring it to here to Wisconsin sometime next month. And
not long ago, you and Dewey went all the way to the West Coast, didn't you?
We went from Texas to California together. Dewey flew a PT-22 and I flew a Great Lakes, and we had a great time. Yep.
How could you not?
Right, I mean, right. Oh, yeah.
As long as you don't lose a Kenner cylinder over a lake.
Right. Yeah.
Over the Chesapeake, right.
Well, thanks, guys. You know, it's been such a pleasure talking about this cool old airplanes, because you know we're in vintage, but you know contemporary is becoming vintage, but truly this is the definition of vintage airplane.
One other thing, Jeff, Andrew, don't you think it's really about the people? These airplanes are great, but isn't it really about the people?
Well, that's it. You know, I used to take a bunch of pictures when I came to Oshkosh, and I'm afraid I hardly take any pictures anymore because I'm just here to see the people, really. And the great stories, Joe Fischera and Mike Pangia, and the Dewey Davenport, the stories of the people that you meet are the interesting people, and that really is most of the motivation, I guess, for being in antique airplanes.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Andrew, it's so nice to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you
hear
again.
About your excellent adventures. Ray, thanks again for putting all this together. We have to wrap because there's other things going on here that people want to hear about. And tomorrow on the fly, we'll be at Kid Venture. We haven't been over there much, so make sure and check out Kid Venture. J. Munchie, on the fly, you're listening to EAA Radio.